It seems counterintuitive on the fourth day of the year to say, thank God it's Friday.
Doesn't it? It's a bit early.
You know, it's like, early. Oh my God, it's finally Friday. It's only the fourth day of the year, for goodness sakes. And yet I feel compelled to say, thank God it's Friday.
Yeah, it's like dog years.
It is like dog years. Well, good morning, everyone. It is Friday. It's the 4th of January. It is 13 minutes past 9 o'clock, and we are here to talk about issues of the day, try to make sense of a world that is often difficult to make sense of, but we'll give it a shot. We'll do our best, and you can help us along the way. We welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. Let me introduce our panel to you. The district attorney from the county of Albany is with us. He is a Friday regular. We are thrilled that he is on our program and thrilled to welcome him this new year. Good morning.
Well, happy new year.
Happy new year to you. How's it going so far?
I'm just so full of hope. Yesterday was a wonderful, wonderful day. We'll get to talk a little bit about you know, Ms. Pelosi being sworn in. It was just beautiful watching that whole process. So, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. We also welcome our dear friend, Judith Eng, senior fellow and visiting professor at Bennington College, founder of Beyond Plastics. That's new. What is that?
Yeah, so I just started this week. I'll be teaching at Bennington College, which is not far from Albany.
Wow.
Come on over. Teaching two courses on plastic pollution and environmental policy. And I've launched a new project called Beyond Plastics, which is designed to work with communities and college students who want to work at the local and state level to reduce the use of single-use plastic packaging, which is a major, major problem facing the globe.
Straws
is on the list in all sorts of plastic packaging. So it's a new adventure, it's a new habitat, and so far, so good.
I was telling David the story last week on the show, but I was thinking of you, because for the holidays, my sister-in-law got us reusable straws.
What's her name?
And not Janine.
And not
only that, but they have
the little straws.
They have
little cleaners.
The little brushes.
Yes.
Those are the coolest thing.
Oh, Janine, what a thoughtful
gift. Yeah, it was
gift. Great.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
Well, good luck and congratulations.
And
we'll still mention that you're a former EPA
regional
administrator.
Well,
we won't leave that out.
We need to also add to the title Senator Susan Collins believer.
Maybe she gave you a little belief yesterday.
A little
glimpse of hope there.
You are like a dog with a bone. hopefully she will redeem herself.
Alan Chartok is with us as well. Good morning, Alan. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm okay, except that one of the things you should probably know is that Murray the dog is now 11 years old. Don't you see?
Yes.
And I'm 77.
Correct.
That makes us the same age.
Oh, that's
me,
right.
And Murray,
yeah,
the
that's
dog.
That's right.
7 years.
Congrats.
For every year. Right. Now, if he grows another year older, which he will, he'll outdo me. He'll be an older man than I am.
Now, do you find yourself to be of similar physical capacity?
Well, I don't really fully understand the question, but I can say
I mean, like when you get up from when Murray gets up from the couch and like you get up from the chair,
yeah,
is
no.
there a similarity there?
No, I'm worse. But he is
you're worse.
But he's really in fine mettle. He's terrific. Yeah, no question about it. And what a panel we have today. So enough on me. Let's go to the next rare guest.
That's right. And the only reason that we were treading water a little bit, because she's back, but she was late.
I'm always late. It's my signature. Fresh from Disney.
She just walked through the door. Rosemary Armeo is with us, investigative journalist. She has been, she was a regular in this program since its inception for the panel. And then she left us. I don't know, something happened in the world. We elected Donald Trump, and then she left the country, and now she's back. She's visiting, and then you're going to be back.
Well, I don't know. I was going to retire this year and come back to Albany for good, but the organization that I work with, the leader, has gone off on a year sabbatical, so I can't just leave. I can't get up and leave, so we're trying to figure it out.
Well...
But I have no hope. I have a sense of doom, so I'm going to counter you, David. And Disney is filled with plastic straws. How do you account for that? And what about this guy in St. Petersburg who beat up one of the employees over plastic straws? How can that be so controversial?
Yep.
If we can't get straws right, how can we do anything else that this country needs? And also, I can't hear
you can hear 90 seconds.
Well, I know. But I've been holding it in. This is so great to be able to talk to you guys.
90 seconds and you're off like a rocket.
Rosemary, the storm. Right? That's the...
Well, first of all, let me just get the niceties out of the way, which is I can't tell you how excited we are to have you back.
Oh, it's fun.
It's really, we're thrilled to have you back. All right, so let's get to the topics on hand, and then at some point, the torrent of questions that you just unloaded on poor Judith, she can respond to.
Thank God, I'm working on it full time now.
I know, plastic straws, we need you.
So let's go to the issues. So as David mentioned, Nancy Pelosi elected speaker as Democrats take control of the House. It was quite a day yesterday. The new speaker celebrated diversity of the House as she reclaimed the speaker's role, very much an emphasis on children and emphasize the significance of presiding over the most diverse group of lawmakers in U.S. history. They then moved to defy President Trump and pass bills that would open government agencies, shuttered by an impasse over his insistence on funding for a border wall. Both measures are almost certain to die in the Senate. On the first day of a divided government and a reordered Washington, Pelosi now second in line to the presidency, and Mr. Trump clashed from their respective ends of Pennsylvania Avenue, also almost from dawn until dusk. Alan, what do you think of Leader Pelosi and the beginning of her return to the helm?
Well, I thought she handled herself exquisitely yesterday. I thought she was terrific. I thought she spoke well. I thought she was firm. I thought she was just right for the job at the time. I don't know that I've always felt that way about it, but I tell you, after the job that the Republicans had done vilifying her, I thought she acquitted herself so brilliantly that a lot of people are going to have confidence in her.
Rosemary.
Yeah, I disagree, of course. Hi, Alan.
Hi, I am so happy to hear your voice.
Oh, that's great. Okay, you may not be happy after this. So I think she is a heroine. I think she's amazing and lovely, but I think she's way out of date. She's way too old to be in that job. And yes, she put up a defiant, resistant front to Trump yesterday, and that was great. However, how effective was it? She's got a bunch of bills that are going to die in the Senate. I would rather see her working with Mitch McConnell to get something done. And I also, the other thing that was ignored yesterday was that she dissed Alexandria Ocasio, who is the future. Why isn't she sitting down with her and coming up with something on climate? I think she's playing by the old rules and saying, say, I can play better than you. I think it feels good, but it's not great in the long run.
Alan, I'm just going to take...
And then I demand the right of reply. Go ahead, David.
I missed you so much.
I cannot believe that was just said.
Go ahead.
So here she is, perhaps the most skilled legislature that I've seen, you know, in the House in my formative years. Right. Here's a person who managed to bring together, you know, her caucus and pass some of the most important pieces of legislation that have benefited, you know, the citizens of this country. And I'm talking about the Affordable Care Act. And she did much of that to her own, you know, detriment, right? And she loses the House. And this is a person who continued to stay in place, continued to galvanize the opposition to Paul Ryan and the disastrous, you know, administration that he held over. And here we are in this triumphant moment where, It was Nancy Pelosi. Let's make no mistake about this. It was Nancy Pelosi and her direction that managed to win all of the seats to support these people and win the House again. So yesterday was one of the most amazing moments where you see the incredible diversity in that House. And, you know, Alan said how wonderful her performance was. Her performance was, and I say the word now, presidential, okay? It was very presidential. And the idea that she's old? No one's saying that Mitch McConnell's old.
Mitch McConnell's old. They are saying it.
This man's face just looks like he's on the bottom end of a sneeze, okay? And it's a frozen, you know, sneeze. And he's managed to do nothing.
Mitch McConnell has engineered the whole Ocasio.
We're sending this to the Peabody Committee.
Just one more point.
David, just one more point. Okay. Although we hate him, look what he's done to the judiciary. That's McConnell. That's skill. It's bad. It's used for the bad force, but he's got as much skill as she does.
That's not skill.
Yes, sir, it is.
Do you think it's skill to have a majority in the Senate and to have a president who just puts up any name and to have the majority just say, yes, okay, you're good?
He did not have a majority when he engineered the whole hostage situation on the Supreme Court that has led us to the 5-4 court right now.
He is a long-range player.
Garland. He is an excellent legislator, a horrible human being, but the point that you were making
that I'm taking exception to is Nancy Pelosi and her skills as a she's much more brilliant in her efforts and her skill set than Mitch McConnell.
Now, Alan requested the right of rebuttal, and then I want to go to Judith. So, Alan, go ahead.
Well, as you know, Rosemary, I have listed Mitch McConnell as the number three worst person in the world, and I'm sticking with that. And
I think
your defense has been, to put it mildly, misplaced. But I am so enjoying this, I'm going to shut up.
All right, Judith.
Well, there's no question that Pelosi is part of the old guard. I mean, she grew up in politics. Her dad was the mayor of Baltimore. She's been in the game for a while. That said, I think she is a very skilled legislator. And the fact that I think $136 million was spent this election cycle running ads vilifying her, and yet she was able to get every Democrat to vote in support of her yesterday is significant. I completely agree that she's making a mistake by not embracing the new guard, more progressive Democrats in the House. She really should be on, you know, going out of her way to work with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
I disagree with you both.
Let me finish. Okay. So she needs to go out of her way to work with the new progressive Democrats. I think there are like 98 members of the Progressive Democratic Caucus.
Right? I mean,
no, this is going on since November, and she's not ignoring them. I mean, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez voted for her.
Pelosi courted
her, and then really disappointed a lot of people. Her rhetoric on climate change in her speech yesterday was good. At the same time, she's not embracing the Green New Deal. She's not giving the Select Committee on Climate Change the power that they need to really affect the, you know, major issue of our day. She's got to thread the needle. She's got to figure out how to deal with McConnell, a very difficult president and executive, reopen the government, keep the freshmen happy. I actually think she's going to do it pretty well. I am glad she's in the position that she's in at this moment.
Mr. District Attorney.
I think she's going to do that, but this whole idea that the most skilled legislature that we've had in Congress in quite some time in history has to all of a sudden give deference to a person who just got into Congress. No.
It's not just one person, but let's make
one thing perfectly clear, okay? This is Nancy Pelosi. She counts votes. She counts votes. She doesn't count Twitter followers. She counts votes. And what was proposed by Ocasio and her group was the formation of this new environmental body with all sorts of mandates that they not accept money
From the fossil fuel lobbyists.
Yeah. Okay, so if you're a freshman, you know what you do? You go and you talk to the most senior people and you say, okay, how do I get things done? You can be an ideologue. You can have all of your principles, right? But you've got to know how to pass legislation. You've got to know how to work within the structure. And it's not just
the
you.
Old way of doing things. And that's how she works. And you might, that's
it's not
it
the old way. It's called,
sympathy
it's
for
called
her.
Democracy.
No, democracy also is you embrace new ideas and new energy, which Ocasio definitely represents. And she should know that. I think she does know that. And I hope that behind the scenes, she is working with her to make this a more palatable political decision than she did, because Nancy does count votes very well. You're right. So help her to make that work. That would be a sign of real leadership. So far, I think I love the day. I hope she enjoyed it, because we all sure did. Skill has nothing to do with it. Hillary's the most skilled politician of our times, too. And what did that get her? Zip.
I disagree with you.
Go ahead, Alan. Nancy lost those seats that have put Democrats so far behind.
Hey,
so
Rosemary,
she's yeah. Sorry,
how can,
sorry.
How
Alan.
Can you possibly say she's the most skilled politician when she lost? The way you define skilled politicians,
because the Russians were working against her. She didn't count on that.
Are the ones who win. She could have gone to some state she didn't go to.
I'm giving you the raspberry.
Well, all I can tell you, Rosemary, anticipating that you were coming back this very morning, I put on my Fire Island sweatshirt.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, you got it in.
Yeah. And I mentioned it on my morning commentary. So welcome back. We all love you, and you're just wrong.
All right. With those words, we're going to take a break. We'll... I can only imagine the next hour will be as vibrant as the past half hour. We welcome your letters. My God, we're getting a lot of them. panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org. Alan Chartok is here. David Soares is here. Judith Enck is here. And yes, Rosemary Armeo is back. I think she's been standing in line at Disney a little too long. It's all bottled up. We'll be back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Judith Enck, David Soares, and yes, Rosemary Armeo. We have a lot of letters from people welcoming Rosemary back, and so we're going to do a couple of those, but we're going to get to some of the actual meat and potatoes of what people are saying, so we'll go with those. Ron says, can you all comment on Trump saying sand and death over and over again in that insane meeting? I found it incredibly disturbing.
You mean the cabinet meeting?
Yes.
Where, I mean, it was just wild. He just spoke.
I mean, there was so much that was disturbing about that. I don't.
The substance was disturbing, but even just the setup. He basically did a monologue for an hour and a half, had the movie poster out.
The weird poster.
And there's another weird poster he issued last night. I loved acting Attorney General and former Fox commentator Whitaker praising him in the dear leader mode.
Yeah.
But the substance of that meeting, I mean, where to begin? I mean, there are like 100 falsehoods and disturbing comments and the wheel and the wall. I mean, where to begin?
The Syrian description of sand and death is not exactly inaccurate, however. And I'm glad that he's taking people out of Syria and Afghanistan.
I don't think we should have been in Afghanistan
in the first place. Now, the way he's doing it, David, yes, oh my God, yes, horrible. But I'm anti-war. I don't think we should ever have been in Afghanistan. I don't think our troops are doing any good there. We have no policy, whatever. So why are they there? Good, get them out.
Am I losing you, buddy?
And I also like his criminal reform. His criminal justice reform, that's badly needed and good for him.
Okay, he's a jerk, but good for him. So let's not add apple pie to a plate of...
Not apple pie. Compost.
Yes.
Thank you.
And call it a wonderful dish, okay? Because that's not what we have here.
Sticking with the rules.
Let me just make one little point. So you know, during the 80s and the 90s, what we had was the Republican Party making the issue of welfare and entitlements an issue where they created this imagery of the African-American woman with her her groceries overfilling her cart at the store, right? And so now people, your average person at the truck stop, you know, whenever they think about welfare, that's the image that they have, right? It's difficult to explain to the average person what welfare truly is and how much money we spend on corporate welfare, right? So people never address the bigger issues, right, where the most amount of money goes, because they just look at this as a local issue, right?
So, Councilor, we're far from Syria. No. You're going to bring this back and
make it
relevant?
I am. There has never been a president. There's never been a president that is causing more tumult around the world, and especially in that area, with his Twitter policies that have thus far caused our generals, right, to say, "I want no part of this," right, and has drawn criticism from our generals, right, and has not only drawn criticism, but can you imagine what Marcon and Germany, what they were saying the day that he made these announcements, and he's talking about sand and death, right? And then to top that off, he also talked about how Russia was justified in their invasion of Afghanistan.
Yeah, I didn't
right?
praise that. Okay? You noticed.
So now here what we have are our allies looking at one another and saying, we cannot count on the United States anymore, right? They're pulling out and leaving the Kurds all to themselves, which we're creating the next generation of people who hate this country because of this president.
Correct.
Right? And all the while, what he's talking about is the wall. So he's creating a much greater danger for this country, right? A threat to our safety of our nation, right? With his foreign policy, right? But he keeps the guy at the truck stop focused on the wall.
Yeah, all of that I don't disagree with, David. And in fact, I would even go further. His whole policy in Syria, pulling them out, has to do with keeping Turkey quiet so they don't start screaming about Khashoggi, which he totally has condoned murder for. I totally believe that. But in Syria itself, Syria has been a trap, and there's no good way to handle it. It was for Obama, who did terrible at it, and it is for him. And bringing out people is not bad. As for getting rid of the generals, Mattis went to the border and said, "Hey, guys, great. This is good training for you. Put up some more barbed wire." So I don't like the generals either. If he annoyed them, fine.
You cannot like the generals, but there's no dispute, okay? There's no dispute that over the course of the last 60 years, we've had the Saudis and we've had the Iranians, right?
Right.
At one another's throats, engaging in all of these wars by proxy, right? Creating a number of failed states in the Middle East. And now you have Syria that's on the verge of becoming yet another failed state. You have Russia's involvement in Syria. That we just can't say, okay, Kurds, you've relied on us for weapons and support. We're just going to dump you now and walk it back. I agree with you. We need to figure out how to cleverly exit that entire region, but we can't do it without establishing some stability in that region.
We don't disagree on this.
Yeah.
All right. Can I get to the second letter?
Sorry.
David writes, in the House, if the Speaker tries to block a bill from coming for a vote, there is a means by which a discharge petition can bypass the Speaker. Is a similar mechanism available in the Senate if McConnell acts to block legislation he does not like?
Not that I'm aware of.
Alan?
No, there isn't.
Okay.
There isn't. Obviously, you get enough senators to vote, would hold up their hands. They can override.
While we're on McConnell, though, yeah. I mean, he has been so absent from the shutdown issue. I think they've got to start printing milk cartons with his picture on the side.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the most important issue facing Washington today. This is already the fourth longest shutdown in history. No resolution in sight. And McConnell,
2 weeks and just by the end of the day.
Yeah. And McConnell is just not willing to engage with Trump.
He's
going to run for Senate in Kentucky the next time out.
Yeah.
He knows how his people feel about this guy. And he is not going to do what's principled at all.
And he's an evil genius who has figured out he doesn't have to get involved. He's helping Trump without having a name on it. He's letting Pelosi take all the heat.
I don't think so. I think Alan's right, and I agree with you, Judith. The issue with McConnell is he's got a 2020 race in Kentucky, and when you look at the numbers you know, Hillary didn't win in Kentucky. Right. Kentucky is firmly behind Donald Trump. The problem that the majority leader is going to have is eventually he's going to feel the pressure from his own caucus, yes, because he's lost two already, yep, that have been very local.
Susan Collins.
And it looks
stop. Will you please? Will you please stop with Susan Collins?
It looks like he's going to lose a few more. So yep, then the question becomes, how many senators are representing states where there is a high presence of U.S. government employees? And that's where you're going to start to see, you know, the rub on Mitch McConnell. He's going to have to make a decision between his position as leadership and his position as a senator.
And not just government employees. I lived through two shutdowns, exactly, during the Obama administration, and it was not a good experience all around. And taxpayers need to understand, shutdowns cost extra money because federal employees get paid retroactively. Contractors don't. And so these senators, I think, are also hearing from military contractors, you know, printing operations, things like that. And as you mentioned, Collins and Cory Gardner from Colorado announced last night that they want to really work affirmatively to end the shutdown. And then last night also, or this morning, Senator Joni Ernst and Senator Caputo also said they want to break away from the Trump orthodoxy on this. What will be interesting is to see what people like Mitt Romney do. Is he going to be the Jeff Flake of the Senate, which is pretty flaky, just writing books and op-eds and then voting and standing with Trump? Or is Romney going to step out and say, we need to end the shutdown soon? Remember, former governors who were managers, whether you agree with their policies or not, Romney was, you know, the governor, right, of Massachusetts, they know how damaging shutting the government down is. And so I'm going to keep my eye on Romney over the next week. I think we may see senators out-organize McConnell on, yeah, this.
Come on. Susan Collins is a disgrace. You know, she makes noises and everybody says she's the switch vote and all the rest of it, and she never does. She doesn't do it. She doesn't step up, please. But the one thing I want to remind everybody about is something that Judith just said, and I think is right on the money. It isn't only the 800,000 federal workers. I've said it before. There are people who can't get their insulin for their diabetes because the government is shut down. Those are the people we really have to keep our eye on, not only the poor government workers who deserve every kind of break because they're working hard, not for that much money, but really they're servicing a lot of people, and that's what we have,
right,
to think about.
I do think that you have to also just focus. I mean, I agree the contractors are important, but I recall the Obama race, I believe it was the second race, when Virginia, you know, was a state that,
oh, yeah,
you know, people were looking at very closely. And because of the shutdown, we saw Virginia specifically, areas that were, you know, blue, heavily populated counties, you know, go for the president. And that was a difference maker. And I think that the longer this shutdown goes, what you're going to see are senators who are up in 2020,
right,
have to make the calculated, right, decision as, are we going to go with President Trump? And by the way, you know, the emperor's wearing no clothes here. Everybody knows that this isn't about, you know, border security.
Right.
And the fact that Pelosi is outmaneuvering them and basically returning to the Senate the same bill that they passed just a few weeks,
yep,
ago.
Yep.
Okay, and they had broad support.
And which Pence signed off on.
Exactly.
On behalf of Trump. Yeah. What I'm worried about is Trump and his acting chief of staff, OMB director, demolisher of consumer protections guy, Mick Mulvaney.
Mulvaney
is really egging Trump on to keep going long on the shutdown because fundamentally these guys don't believe in government.
Oh.
And Senator Richard Shelby, who is a top appropriator in the Senate, said yesterday that he thinks this shutdown may last for months.
Yeah.
Months.
Well, I want you to think about this. And I mean, just entertain me here for one second. But, you know, you have our entire country right now, right, because of Donald Trump and the position that he took, even after he had signaled and told them that he would sign off on the piece of legislation that received bipartisan support just a few weeks ago, we have this man listening to Rush Limbaugh and Ann Coulter. Mm-hmm. So it's Rush Limbaugh, Ann Coulter, and the other guys making policy for the United States of America. Right. Live with that for a second.
And they're not Senate confirmed.
Yes.
But they
they're
are
acting.
Definitely.
They're all acting.
They're more influential than cabinet members.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue with the letters. We welcome yours, panel at WAMC.org. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Very nice to have you with us. Let's go back to the letters. While I have the microphone, I'm just going to read a couple of them real quick.
Take that microphone away.
John says, welcome back, Rosemary. It's not about abilities or stature. Our generation's day is done. Nancy Pelosi's wisdom and experience is needed, but it is the new generation who will take our hopes forward, nurture them, Nancy.
Let's be gracious about it. Yes.
Jim says, who says Pelosi won't embrace the new members? Question mark. Pelosi took her share of shots by new candidates, saying that she should not be the leader, so I don't expect her to yield to them on day one. They hopefully will come together. Pelosi knows the rules of the game and how to use them. The new people, while exciting, are likely clueless on how to navigate the process, which was your point. David?
Yes, it is. I mean, you definitely look. I will tell you right now, with a leader like Mitch McConnell in the Senate and a president and an administration who knows nothing about governance, I can tell you that I rest easy knowing that you have someone like Nancy Pelosi with her experience there. That doesn't mean that we should foreclose other people's voices from being heard. I just think that right now, for the moment, and I think she's demonstrated a lot about her philosophy in that regard by agreeing to only be there for the next four years.
But she had to do that because she's a good deal maker. And you're right about
that. Did you say was that a compliment?
Yes, yes.
Was that a compliment?
No, it's not a compliment. She is a great deal maker, unlike Donald Trump,
who
says he is.
That's not a compliment?
However, her responsibility as a leader is to bring up the next generation. So it isn't just saying, I'll give it to you in 2 years.
I think
she's training them for the next 2 years.
I think she got a lot of them elected.
Seen it.
Well, I think a lot of them got elected on their own. I wouldn't underestimate their political skills.
Right.
I mean, not to keep harping on AOC, but she beat Crowley. I mean, that was astonishing.
And I doubt that Nancy was helping.
She was helping Crowley. Crowley, who now is going to be a lobbyist in Washington. Surprise, surprise.
How many people were elected this past session?
How many were lost in the last two midterm elections, David? Come on.
There were up to 40,
but we lost 66 over the last.
Okay.
And that was also Nancy Pelosi.
Okay.
So you give her the win, but you also have to look at it in the whole overall picture. She needed to win them back because she lost them.
Oh, okay.
All right. This is Christina, who is on this subject, who says, in bringing up Speaker Pelosi's quote-unquote diss of Ocasio-Cortez, why is it that whenever two women are in the news who express differing views, the media plays it out like a catfight?
Mm-hmm.
Does the panel think that this plays a role in undermining ladies' voice in politics? As we approach a presidential election season where it is likely that an unprecedented amount of candidates will be female, aren't we obligated to promote intellectual conversations that look beyond old tropes of the past?
Thank you.
Yes, we are. Good letter.
And the media does focus on that. But remember, more than 100 women were elected to the House this cycle. And just to put this in perspective, it wasn't until 2011 that there was a ladies' room out off the floor of the House. So progress lately is for women has been substantial.
And I would tell you that as far as the conservative, the amount of money that's been generated attacking, trying to destroy the political careers, I don't think there have been many males who have suffered like Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi.
And Elizabeth Warren.
They fear Nancy Pelosi.
And yet she persisted. Yeah. And I would actually say that it was actually Donald Trump who did more to get all those women elected and their voices heard than Nancy Pelosi, because he's so angered, annoyed, frightened them that they have organized like never before. Mm-hmm. And we saw that starting with the Women's March after the day after his inauguration.
And continue to organize.
Exactly.
Yeah, the indivisible groups were out in force yesterday.
Libby's group here in the Capital District is part of that. Yes.
Barbara says, why on earth does anyone need a straw to drink something? It's a stupid habit that people have gotten into.
Actually, older women are not supposed to. It gives you wrinkles, you know, between your nose and your lips. Don't use straws at all.
Ah!
Let's see. Susan Collins, Bob says, Alan is 110% correct about crying Susie. Like Rand Paul, she makes a lot of noise, but in the end, she's just another McConnell acolyte.
She did help save Obamacare. I'm not defending her. I'll never forgive her for Brett, I like beer Kavanaugh. But she and Murkowski and McCain saved Obamacare in the Senate.
Judith is the Collins whisperer.
And John Roberts. Come on now. You know, the fact of the matter was they knew there would be hell to pay if Americans' health care disappeared.
Yeah, so, but McConnell really wanted to get rid of Obamacare. How many times did they vote for that? They were serious about it.
Yep.
Yeah. Nancy writes, oh, my goodness, this discussion, quote unquote, is exactly why nobody loses as much as Democrats manage to do, even when they win. I like Rosemary a great deal. However, her refusal to accept any ideas other than her own is exhausting and counterproductive. If a Democrat is not liberal enough or idealistic enough, they need to go in her opinion. That is why we lose. Nancy Pelosi is perfect for the job and her age and is not much different from Rosemary. Rosemary wants to be validated for her experience and expertise while at the same time disparaging Nancy Pelosi. Can we please stop fighting amongst ourselves and come together as United Democrats to take back this country?
Put another way, circular firing squad once again.
I wish I knew where that was going so I could hum behind it like,
I don't know. I think if you sit around and just support each other because we're Democrats, then you end up like the Republicans who are supporting Trump because he's a Republican.
But you also you also cannot have a Tea Party that comes out and says, okay, this is what we want. We're not giving in. We're not going anywhere. We're not moving. This is what we want. We cannot have.
What did I say that would indicate that purity was something I wanted or thought was good?
We can't engage. We're in a democracy. We cannot engage in purity tests.
Corey writes, I'm not a leftist, but I love Rosemary. I'm so glad she's back. She is a leftist who is honest and clear-eyed and rational. It's a refreshing change from the usual over-the-top anti-Trump hysteria heard on a daily basis. Trump is a very unrefined and obnoxious person, but his instincts and foreign policy are right. I'm a multiple combat veteran, and I wholeheartedly support any drawdown of hostilities.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Interesting to see the Elizabeth Warren stance on that too. Dominic says Rosemary is right. Pelosi must work with the progressives in Congress. I'm surprised. David Soares said that newly elected officials have to curb their idealism. He didn't when he was first elected Albany County DA. He took a great amount of heat for his stand on street level drug dealing being an economic job issue and calling for Rockefeller drug law reform. And his stand has now become the mantra of drug reform 12 years after his unconventional stand.
I haven't changed at all, but I'm speaking from experience, knowing that when you come into an institution and you want change, you have to begin to work towards change, but you also have to win over people who may not have agreed with you. That's the only thing that I'm saying. I'm not suggesting that Ms. Cortez should abandon, you know, her idealism, but she needs to, and everyone who's elected into a new position that they've never been in before. That's all.
Anybody want to comment on Bob's letter who says the shutdown won't last for months? It will end 2 days after the unpaid TSA agents and air traffic controllers start calling in sick in droves.
Oh, God, I would love that. I'm sorry. I don't like TSA.
Really? I didn't know that.
I do have some worries, though, that the public has gotten used to these shutdowns. It does not have the shock value it did, you know, in Newt Gingrich and then even under Obama. And it now is like, oh, ho-hum, they're going to talk and it'll be settled. And I'm not seeing a high level, other than groups like this, people who follow government and policy. Right. We're all worried about it and looking at money. But I'm not hearing that.
People are still getting their Social Security check. I mean, this is a partial government shutdown.
Exactly.
They were kind of skilled in making sure that, you know, the visible services are provided. But for instance, with EPA shutdown, you don't have environmental inspectors out there looking at drinking water quality and cleaning up toxic waste sites like in Hoosick Falls and other places. And so it's kind of going to be
I'll tell you, there's lots of Trump supporters, and they were not talking about, oh, my goodness, we got to get government open again. I was not hearing that.
Let me just say this. It's not until it begins to trickle down and impact on your life that you're going to understand the importance of. I mean, so if you're a person who has tickets to go to the Super Bowl, which the Dallas Cowboys will be in this year, you know, and all of a sudden the TSA agents, you know, are not working.
Or what, do a slowdown.
Yeah, what is that going to do? People will begin to feel it.
Wait, if TSA is there, doesn't that mean you get on your plane faster?
Well, you know what? I don't want to get on a plane knowing that people haven't been properly searched.
It's completely ineffective, David. We'll have to have this debate
another time. Okay, we'll have this debate another time. But what I want to say is
And let's not forget Ronald Reagan and firing everybody.
Let's not also forget that this shutdown, how is that going to impact? I read an article about federal judges who are upset about you know, the fact that their hearings are being adjourned, defendants not being able to be produced. So you're going to have a trickle-down impact on just about every facet of our society, and that's when people will start to understand.
The most reaction I've heard was in the national parks where volunteers are going in trying to clean them up.
That's not sustainable. Yeah. They're closing the toilets, and people are hiking and had injuries and couldn't get out. But it's the percentage of people going to national parks, especially in the winter, is pretty small.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue the fun. And we welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. First News with Rick Rapp. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. This morning, Alan Chartok, Judith Henk, Rosemary Armeo, David Soares, and we welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. All right, we have some letters. Let's go to those, and then we'll move on to some other topics. Matthew has a great subject line, which is Ocasio Schmazio. I have been a member of many boards, both political and not political, over many decades. There's nothing more irritating than having a newly elected board member come in and tell the veteran board members all the things that they're doing wrong and proposing a slew of new, quote-unquote, initiatives. Usually the new, quote-unquote, initiatives have either been explored or tried and failed. The appropriate behavior when new is to keep quiet, learn the lay of the land, and presume that there is a lot to learn. There's plenty of time later to introduce and move your agenda. By the way, I am a federal census employee. I will not be getting back pay. We are only paid for hours worked.
Okay, so that's really old guard. Millennials don't operate like that. And the way you have vibrancy in any organization is when the old people accept that the new people come in and act that stupid way that you just described, which is accurate, and forgive them for it and move on. Ocasio did an amazing job, and she did not do it by playing by the rules. She played it her way, and she won, and that needs to be embraced and studied and looked at, and she needs to be groomed. I hope Nancy Pelosi makes her mentee. That's what's required.
And there are so many urgent issues, it's hard to say to energetic new members of Congress, wait your turn. I mean, look at her district. I mean, the economic issues are crushing, immigration issues, climate change issues. It's hard to say, hold back.
Yeah, let's be very clear here. It's 10:07 Friday morning. I don't think anybody's saying hold back.
This letter writer did.
I think the spirit of the remarks I think that are being made here is that, you know, that energy, bringing that kind of energy and bringing that kind of perspective to, let's say, the old guard, is a wonderful thing, and they need it, right? Mm-hmm. They need it. But there is a process, right? And it's, we're not going to say it's the old process. It's a process. It's called.
Remember, I'm sorry. You know, sorry, David. How much debate went on about climate during the 2016 election?
Here's you and I.
Zero.
If you take a position and I take a position and it's both intractable, what are we achieving? Nothing, right? It's politics is an art, right? It's about you giving, me giving. It's about arriving at a place that we can achieve something, right? And then we go a little further tomorrow. And you come back to the table and we go a little further the next day. That's an art. If you stay in your place, that's like having the Tea Party over here and having, you know, I don't know what you'd call this new movement, but it's having both of them in place. And then for the rest of the citizens in her districts or any other district waiting for a result, it's never going to happen.
Who's talking about anyone not giving? Why can't Nancy Pelosi go, you know what, Alexandria? Come in here and let's talk. I'm going to show you how to get this done.
Well, you don't know what she is.
Nancy Pelosi doesn't survive as long as she's been in politics and not know that.
Yes, exactly. I think that's right.
I don't understand why you're hating on the ladies today.
I'm
Rosemary.
Not hating on the ladies.
I just don't understand.
I want the ladies to play the game in a way that makes it multi-generational and continues. And I think we are
and
doing that. And sustainable.
That's
and
right.
That does not mean that you just tell them, obey the rules, or this is how I did it. You have to do it the same way. When I was a journalist.
You're putting some words in her mouth.
I'm learning from you, David.
I'm going to give you a little Larry David here going,
oh, my God, he's mansplaining me. He's mansplaining me. Oh, my God, I'm going to explode.
Cheap shot. Let the man say what he wants, and then he'll let
you say what you want. He interrupted me, Alan. Excuse me.
You interrupted me every time I opened my mouth.
I know, but that's our stick.
Joe, do something.
Tristan writes, if you're giving Trump credit for Dems winning House seats, you have to give Obama partial blame for the loss of House seats. Pelosi's support of ACA was critical, but also cost seats.
I agree.
Okay. Mike says, Rosemary is more delusional than our fearless leader if she thinks McConnell is going to lift one finger to compromise with Pelosi without knowing what Trump's response is going to be. He's been burned by Trump before, and he's a Machiavellian genius who knows that in the long run, it's the courts that will decide any battles between the executive branch and Congress.
That and he's packing the courts with horrible right-wing judges that we're going to have for decades and decades when no one will even remember who Donald Trump was other than a bad dream.
We have blue waves and red tsunamis.
Mm-hmm. Greg says, I heard that with the government shutdown, people will be able to file their tax returns but will not receive their income tax return checks until the government reopens. Is that true? Talk about everyone else really starting to feel it. I don't know if that's true.
I haven't heard it, but that makes sense because 95% of IRS employees are told to stay home.
And this is regarding the Park Service. This is from Eric. This is the time of year that the Park Service hires hundreds of thousands of seasonal workers for next year. Their lives are approaching chaos as they can't communicate get their applications processed and get hired, starting work on as early as March. And I know NPR did an interesting story on that yesterday.
Yeah, I heard that story, and people are entering the parks with ATVs and, you know, damaging the land. There's no patrol there. The park system is so underfunded. This is the last thing that it needs. If you're thinking of seeing state parks this summer, go now before, you know, the next Ryan Zinke and
I was just going to say, we've done all of this and I'm listening to you and I don't hear the word Zinke.
Well, in a story I have labeled Zinke-rific.
Love it.
Justice Department is investigating whether Ryan Zinke lied to the Inspector General. Now, just to give you a little background, the Justice Department's Public Integrity Section is examining whether newly departed Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke lied to his agency's Inspector General's investigators, according to three people familiar with the matter, a potential criminal violation that would exacerbate Zinke's legal woes. This is an exclusive from the Washington Post. Four reporters working on this story. Mm-hmm. Zinke, who left the Trump administration Wednesday, was facing two inspector general inquiries tied to his real estate dealings in his home state of Montana and his involvement in reviewing a proposed casino project by Native American tribes in Connecticut. In the course of that work, inspector general investigators came to believe Zinke had lied to them, and they referred the matter to the Justice Department to consider whether any laws were violated, that according to the people familiar with the matter.
I think it's significant that the Interior Department Inspector General referred to the Department of Justice for further investigation. It feels very Scott Pruitt-ish, and it's amazing that Zinke just left on Wednesday. But he had many, many ethical transgressions. And just ask, you know, Michael Flynn and Michael Cohen when you lie to investigators.
Well, I find it just amazing that most of the work for 2017, 2018, moving forward in 2019 being done by the Department of Justice happens to be people in this administration.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a mobster in like California or in Phoenix, Arizona, you're like,
no worries.
Okay, let me just relax a little bit because these guys are going to be tied up. you know, taking care of the creatures of the swamp
the
that
Trump
we brought in.
The Trump cabinet. I mean, don't forget Wilbur Ross.
Still there.
There's a
lot
to do.
Nothing's
going to
happen to Zinke, though. It's going to be like Pruitt and Price. This is the Agnew prosecution. You bring all these charges or look at them bringing all these charges and you get them out of office and then nothing happens.
That's not true. I mean, it's an analysis. You got to do an analysis, and when they're
give me an example, David. Where left and they got prosecuted.
I'm just saying. Here's an example. You if you're doing a white collar case and you're subpoenaing bank records, you know what they send you? They send you boxes. They send you boxes and boxes and boxes of records. You don't put those records through a computer, and all of a sudden there's a theory that pops out. You have a staff member who's going to be reading every single one of those documents and conducting an analysis. So it's unreasonable for anyone to expect that, you know, once these irregularities pop up, that you're going to have some kind of microwave justice. It's going to take time.
Well, here's an Rosemary.
Alaska in a year.
Here's an example.
Oh, Rosemary, I'm going to buy you a coffee,
level.
And you
okay,
can.
Okay, that's good.
Not in a styrofoam cup. I'm going to buy you a cup of coffee. I'm
reusable. But at the state level, Governor Cuomo's right hand guy, Joe Percoco, he resigned and still was tried and is going to jail. Same thing with Collyaris. I believe he resigned.
State level. Tommy at a federal level. And that doesn't, it just doesn't happen, including Agnew, who was incredibly corrupt, and they did have the evidence, and he ended up negotiating a leave, and he got, you know, some suspended, very short sentence.
No low contendere.
Yeah. Right,
well, that's
exactly.
Why a lot of them resigned, to avoid.
Yeah. And it works.
Being held accountable.
And it works.
Yeah. Although here, you know, Zinke, we know, was involved in a questionable real estate deal in his home state of Montana, the casino issue. We don't know exactly what it is that DOJ mm-hmm. is looking at. And I'm not optimistic with the dude that's in there now, the acting
Cole
AG.
Baron.
And then the acting.
The acting AG, and then the guy who is at Barr, who has been nominated, who mm-hmm. first auditioned for the part for... with the president, but there are career public service lawyers in the public integrity unit at DOJ who are very good, and they will follow the facts.
Yeah, but in the end, isn't Whitaker
going to
make
out his name? Sorry.
Yeah, isn't Whitaker going to be making the judgment? I mean, he sits at the top.
Yeah,
and he's
I would
not
think
excusing
they
himself.
Have to they have to brief him on it, and he'll just say make it go away.
Yeah, they would, but let's understand also that first and foremost, they're going to do their analysis. It's going to take some time to do that. Then they can make, you know, they can provide a memo, right, to leadership. Leadership can say, you know, we're going to look the other way. But that person isn't going to be there forever.
Right.
Right? You're going to have a new administration in 2020. And with statute of limitations, you still have...
I'm knocking on wood. New administration in 2020.
Yeah, I'm not convinced of that either, because I have great doom about whether we'll get our act together. But yeah, I hope you're right.
You got here this morning.
No, I know. I had to come in and make you realistic. I hope you're right, David, because that's our hope for the Mueller investigation. Oh yeah, it takes time, and he's going to be methodical, and he'll produce a memo that we probably will get to see now because Adam Schiff is involved. And well, we'll see.
Okay, but now that you're
not
here,
optimistic about.
But now
it,
that though. You're here, let me ask you a question. Is it your analysis that if a left-wing candidate gets to be the presidential, Democratic presidential opponent against a Trump, let's just posit if he's still here, are you saying that that won't, that will help the Democratic Party and win or lose?
Oh, this is the Bernie question. If Bernie or Warren runs, can they win? I don't know. I don't think it's a given, and I think that Trump has, we call it his base as if it's a small percentage, and it's actually a very large and cohesive percentage that votes for him. So I think he is a formidable opponent.
Well, I have much more hope than you, because what I've seen happen, and not only in the midterms, but the elections prior to the midterms, right? Where you started to see populations of people, the Roy Moore campaign comes to mind, the South Carolina campaign comes to mind. When you see African-American women galvanized in certain districts.
Stacey Abrams.
And so I think you're right when you made the comment earlier about Donald Trump getting people elected, because I do believe that what we're seeing, mm-hmm. it's impacted so many right. different people on so many different levels, that we're going to see that kind of move. I would be shocked. I would be shocked if it didn't happen.
We were shocked in 2016, and that continues to color my my analysis. But
there was a bit of arrogance in 2016 where people stayed home and believed that others can go and do the work for them.
And you read the continuing support that he has. It does not waver in the face of just things that would have killed previous.
It's 33% consistently. So it's one in three.
More like 40, but
But
okay.
I think that if you were just gauging the supporters that remain consistent there and not look at the people that have come together, some of them right. are allies. I mean, that have impacted a number of elections where the results were just not what we were expecting.
Right.
Again, I go back to Alabama. I think you're going to see a lot more of that.
Well, I mean, Alabama, I cannot count as something that goes into regular now. So that was the worst candidate mm-hmm.
yeah. in the history of the world.
Yeah. I
mean, even worse than Trump.
And he still came close, kind of, you know? Yeah. He really did. He was awful. And he came close. So Trump is not out. And look at the Christian right, which continues to believe that he is the answer from God. And they accept all kinds of character.
But you'd also have to look at Arizona.
Yeah, that's
and see what happened there.
And it's so close, David. And we have two more years of staying together in action, and the same kinds of things that happened in the midterm that has to keep together for two more years.
This is a president that continues to give.
And he just, you know, the really sad reality is it just gets worse mm-hmm. with him with every passing week. You know, I talked to friends after President Trump was elected and I kind of had to take deep breaths while they were telling me, well, let's give him a chance. Maybe he'll rise to the occasion. He'll, you know, be more moderate governing. We've got Jared and Ivanka there. Early on, New York Times did a bunch of stories about how Jared and Ivanka were going to moderate him. Right. The reality is, since he's gotten elected, this president has gotten worse and worse. And I think we have to buckle up for this year, particularly when he feels cornered. He will do even more outrageous things. I don't think anyone would disagree if you've got a, you know, progressive perspective that it's every month has been worse with him.
Yeah, right. But I don't think you really need to just have a progressive perspective. Again, I come back to, you know, generally speaking, our foreign policy is a place where we've remained relatively consistent, regardless of who is in office, mm-hmm. right? And I think for the people who are conservative foreign policy people, they've got to be looking at this and saying, oh, my God.
We're about to blow up NATO. But conservatives
don't care.
They just want the judges.
Jobs.
It's all about the judges.
Judges and jobs. The economy could make a difference.
Well, the
and
economy is doing.
What is it?
But let's be clear. I mean, let's be clear that, you know, when we talk about foreign policy, we're not just talking about peace, you know, on Earth. We're talking about global trade.
Yeah,
I agree. And at some point, you know, these executives and these stockholders, right, are going to be demanding something different. I understand that they all are very pleased with their tax breaks, right? But if you're talking about the longevity of your investments and you're seeing the kind of tumult that you're seeing right now
in various markets.
Well, the Wall Street
Journal yesterday really went after President Trump on a bunch of things. Yeah. I think the Wall Street Journal is really sounding the alarm, the editorial page, not just the reporting. Fox News is still with him, though, and Rush Limbaugh is still with him.
Donald Trump has made China the most powerful country on Earth. They put a man on the other side, not a man, mm-hmm. but a craft on the other side of the moon. Mm-hmm. They are all the places that Trump is pulling out, China's moving
renewable
in.
Renewable energy.
Just
still bad on labor. Very bad on labor in China.
Yeah. Human rights.
Alan, what do you think? 2 minutes.
I've been having so much fun sitting back and listening to all of this that I've sort of just had nothing but appreciation for the spectacular Friday panel that you put together, Joe. So if you consider that filibustering, you're right.
Well, I will ask in our 90 seconds, because one of the stories we had on our docket, and it just seems appropriate to ask, Nancy Pelosi was asked yesterday on the Today Show if she would support impeachment, and she said, well, we'll wait and see with the Mueller report, and I don't know if you can make anything out of that or not.
Well, I do. I mean, I have great hopes for Mueller. I hope he's got what we think he has, and all of these convictions, guilty pleas, and everything else would indicate that something is up. So she's right to say that. Trump says it all the time. We'll see.
She also backed up Congressmember Jerry Nadler on the question of the old DOJ memo. Can you indict a sitting president? Mm-hmm. She said that's not settled law.
I think the things to look out for.
30 seconds,
the things to look out for in the month of January, February, leading into March. March is when we have all the sentencings of the various people that we're talking about. So I think in February, you've got to be looking out for the House, the various convening these investigations. Mm-hmm. But policy is also going to be an issue. This whole government shutdown thing cannot last as long as some are saying it's going to.
My thanks to everybody for being here and the wonderful panel. Rosemary, you'll be back on Monday?
Yes, sir.
Am I understood? I understand that.
And, I'll be on time, maybe.
Oh, well, you know, don't put yourself out. Do whatever you need to do. We'll see you two next week. Thank you very much. Alan, you be well, and we'll be back after the short break.
We will.